Amen. What a blessing that was. Praise the Lord for the special music. What a blessing it is just being in church this morning. I trust that each one senses that this morning, sense the presence of God in this place. And I trust that you're ready to receive what God has for you through the preaching and the teaching of God's Word at this time. If you have your Bibles, if you look with me to the book of 1 Kings, 1 Kings, we're in chapter 3 and be reading verse 5 down to verse 13. The book of 1 Kings, chapter 3, verse 5 down to verse 13. So if you'll stand with me, we'll read the Word of God together. As I read, you follow right along with me. The Bible says in chapter 3 and verse 5, "In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. And God said, 'Ask what I shall give thee.' And Solomon said, 'Thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord, my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David, my father. And I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart, to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people?' And the speech pleased the Lord, that Solomon had asked these things, this thing. And God said unto him, 'Because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but thou hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days.'" And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before you this morning, Lord God, we thank you, we love you, and we thank you for the opportunity that you made available for us to be in church today. I thank you for all that have taken advantage of that opportunity, made the right decision, and that are here. And Lord, as we stand before you this morning, we are a needy people, and we need to hear from you. That's why we're here, is to receive that which you have for us, that which we have need of. And I pray, God, that each one would have an ear to receive it today. I pray that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Solomon, known as the wisest man ever to live, possibly the most wealthiest man ever to walk on the face of the earth, Solomon would follow after his father David to be the next king of Israel. And in this passage of Scripture, we find here that God invites Solomon to ask for whatever he wanted. It's God, creator of all things. When somebody says this to us, we would first consider what they could give. Now, I don't know, there's not too many times that we have people come up to us and say, ask whatever you want from me. But from time to time, as parents, you have your children to come up to you and says, Daddy, what do you want for Father's Day? Daddy, what do you want for Christmas? Mommy, what do you want for your birthday? And before we answer them, we look at them and consider what they can give. And that makes a difference in what we ask for. Now, sometimes, you know, your wife might ask you what you want. Now, that's a different set of circumstances there. Because I'm thinking differently when my wife says that to me than my child. Or it might be, maybe it's a boss that says, you know, we really appreciate what you are bringing to this company. And ask what we can do for you. So, most of the time, somebody asks and we consider who it is that's asking and we think, well, this is what I want, but why ask you? You can't provide it. You cannot give me what I really want. And so I'm not going to ask what really is on my heart. But as I look to you and see who you are, then I might ask you what something that you can give. And if you want to give, this is what you can give me. Well, now Solomon was approached by an almighty creator God who spoke the worlds into existence. And he invites Solomon to ask for whatever he wanted. Nothing would be impossible. Because he knew God to be limitless and infinite, almighty God. Spurgeon said this. He says, men's character appears in their choices and their desires. God wanted for Solomon to see really what kind of heart he had. This morning I want to preach a message to you that I've entitled, What Are You Asking God For? What are you at? It would say, preacher, I don't ask anybody for anything. How sad. Because if you're saved, an almighty God says, ask. The Bible says we have not because we ask not. Amen? God wants us to ask. If you're not asking God, then one of two things. You either don't believe that God is real or you're blinded to what He can give you. What are you asking God for? We find Solomon here in verse 7. He first of all declares himself unworthy and undeserving of God's invitation. That's a good place to start. God doesn't owe you or me anything. He shows and gives unmerited favor, grace. They didn't owe us anything. Who are we to demand something from God? Sometimes we're not asking, we demand. Or we try to barter with God. If you do this, I'll do that. Who do you think you are to try to barter with God? Or who do you think you are to say, God, if you don't do this, I will not. If you do this, I'll not serve you. Who are we? We're looking at God here, the creator of all things. And Solomon had a right heart. And the first thing that he acknowledged was the fact that he was unworthy and undeserving of this great invitation that God gave him. He says, but I am but a little child. Now he's king of Israel. He's already been made king. And know not how to go out or come in. Amen. That's a great place to start. In verse 8, he acknowledges the position that God had placed him in as God's servant over the king over God's people, a great people. And then verse 9, what Solomon asked for. We're going to come back to that. But verse 10 tells us, and the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. If you're wanting to please somebody, God is a person to please. If you know who He is, He's the person to please. But then in verse 11, and God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked. Now what's that telling us? It's telling us what not to ask for. God reveals to Solomon what not to ask for. And he said, because you didn't ask this, this is not what you should have asked for. This is not what I wanted you to ask for. I wanted to see your heart, and you're doing things right, Solomon. And that's why God was pleased with his request when he was given the opportunity to ask whatever was on his heart. So what not to be asking for? For thyself, long life. For thyself, long life. See, God does not have us here on this earth just to give us a long life. In Christ, we already have that. For the wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is everlasting life, eternal life, if you will, through Jesus Christ our Lord. If you have been saved, can I tell you, you don't have to ask for that long life. God has already given you long life. God has given you eternal life. So what are you looking for thyself? Lord, I just don't want to die. Well, give me long life. I want to stay on this earth as long as I can. Is that what we're asking God for? If God already knows what we have in store for us in heaven, the life in heaven, can I tell you, is far superior than anything we could live on in this life. So why would God want to primarily keep you here? Just to give you more time here on this earth? A long life for you? It's not what we ought to be asking for. To live however many years on this earth, the purpose is to live for Christ. Paul made that very clear in Philippians in chapter 1 and verse 21 when he says, for to me to live is Christ. However many years God gives me, to die is gain. To die is gain. It's a blessing when God calls us home. It's a graduation. It's a time to leave the sin-cursed body. It's a time for us to get rid of the sin nature. It is a time to be able to come into the very presence of God, to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. Listen to me. I would think that it would almost be better to say, Lord, take me to heaven. But we're asking God on this earth, it's not, Lord, just give me for myself more time. God, use me. Whatever time you've given me, God, I want to be used. For to me to live is Christ. The second thing that he tells Solomon, it's a good thing you didn't, because this is not what I wanted you to ask for. So Solomon, you didn't ask for thyself long life. Neither hast asked riches for thyself. Riches. Can I tell you that this world's riches cannot compare to what God has for us in glory? So there again, does God have us here just to give us money? Are we here just to establish a huge bank account? Are we here just to establish a lot of property, to buy up a lot of property? Are we here to be able to just be known as the richest man on earth? Now, Solomon would be known for that, but that's not what he asked for. In heaven, my goodness, I've heard people talk about the streets are paved with gold. Amen. It's just asphalt in heaven. So is our purpose on this life? Our purpose here is to be asking God, Lord, give me more money. I don't think so. It's not His plan. It's not necessarily what God has you here, His purpose for your life. Matter of fact, we're even warned of that kind of mindset. 1 Timothy chapter 6, looks what Paul warned them about. He warned the church about this, the believers. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Let me read it to you, write it down so you can study it later for sake of time. But 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 8, it says this, "And having food and raiment, let us be there with content." See, God is more concerned about your contentment with what He has given to you. And if you're not thankful for what you have, and if you're not learning to be content with what God has given to you, don't expect for God to give you more. Are we praying, asking God for money? He says, "For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out." When you die, it doesn't matter how much money you got in the bank. It doesn't matter what kind of property you own. It will not matter. But they that will be rich, and some Christians, blinded, praying, "God, make me rich. God, give me more money. Give me the things of this life. Give me the things of this world. I want to have what He has, and I want to have what she has." And you're coveting. You even say, "God, I'm more faithful than that person. Why have you blessed them with financial gain more than me?" And Paul warns, and he says, "But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money," it's not money itself, "but the love of money is the root," God Almighty is saying, "it's the root of all evil in this world." Well, that's... You do not have to look very far to see that to be true. "Which while some coveted after," even Christians, "they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." So God says, "Solomon, I'm glad you didn't ask for that." The last thing that He reveals to Solomon is a good thing he didn't ask. It's not what God would have us to ask for even today. And that is the life of thine enemies. The life of thine enemies. Revenge. Using God as an attack dog. Some people do that. "Lord, that person offended me. Would you bring down fire from heaven and just consume them? Would you just rain hell and brimstone down upon their head? God, they've offended me." Jesus is hanging on the cross. They spat at Him. Made fun of Him. You could say they offended Him. He had the power to call down fire from heaven. He didn't do it. God does not have you here for you to use Him as a hitman. You do something bad to me and I'm going to call God's wrath down from heaven. He's going to consume you. I trust you're not praying that way. God, that co-worker, take him out. Make my life easier. Amen. I'm just being honest. I mean, if we're not careful, God says, this is not how I want you to pray. And he warns us, so it must be how some Satan might get some people to pray. Yeah. John chapter 12, I want to share something with you here, what Jesus told the disciples concerning that. John chapter 12, verse 46. John chapter 12, verse 46, Jesus says, I am come a light into the world. I am come a light. If you hear in Sunday school, this goes hand in hand with what we taught in Sunday school. I am come a light into the world. And whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world. I came, Jesus himself was here and he says, I didn't come to use God as an attack dog. I didn't come to use him as a hitman. I didn't come to ask God to destroy and take out of this life anyone that offended me. Matter of fact, just the opposite. He looked up, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me. He gave me a commandment which I should say and what I should speak. And I tell you, God does the same for every born-again believer. And I know that His commandment is life everlasting. And whatsoever I speak therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. God wants you to ask to be a witness. For strength to be the light. To have a testimony that exalts Christ. So he told Solomon, he said, this is what I was wanting you to see, Solomon. I want to see just what you would ask for. And I'm glad you didn't ask for these things. Because that would have limited what I could do for you. That would have limited how I could have prospered you and blessed you. But God was pleased with what he did ask for. Shouldn't we want to know? Shouldn't we want to understand what he did ask for and make the application for us today? That's what we want to do. Verse 9. 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 9. Solomon acknowledges his unworthiness. He acknowledges the position that God had placed him in. And he asks for what would enable him to accomplish God's will. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy... You've put me in a place of king, judge, ruler, leader, to judge thy people. That I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people, God? I'm unworthy to have the position you've given to me. But it is a position you've given to me. And my prayer, my heart's desire is, God, that you'd enable me to be able to accomplish your will for my life. His heart's desire was to be used by God. Before you ask God anything, check your heart. Will this enable me to better accomplish God's will for my life? Will what I'm asking God for help me to be used by the Lord? Ask myself, why am I here? Why are you here? So that God can just let you live on this planet Earth for a longer period. Why would God want to do that when He has heaven? You have heaven ready. He had heaven in store for us. So that you might be able to build up a bank account. Listen to me. It all stays here. Why am I here? The first reason that you're here is family. Lord God, use me to provide for my family. God's given you a position. This could be a good Father's Day message, amen? Men, God's given you a position of headship. A position to provide for your family. It's going to take all three of the things He didn't ask for. It's going to take time. It's going to take finances. It's going to take a testimony. But what it's for is to help you be the man that God wants you to be. Ladies, what it's for is to help you to be the wife and mother that God wants you to be. The parents that God wants you to be. Teenagers, the children, the young people, the teenager that God wants you to be. What are you asking God for? God wants you to ask, but make sure that what you're asking for is what God wants you to ask for, and it's going to enable you to be able to accomplish what God has you here to accomplish. Families, close to the heart of God. The first experience of life that any child has is with family. And for so many years, that's all they see. And that will impact how they turn out. That will impact is what develops in their minds. What develops in their hearts. Family should raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It's got to be a place of refuge. It has to have the hand of God upon the home to be able to raise children and a godly seed. Praying for family. Church. Before we get to church in Acts 20:35, Paul understood the importance of his testimony and time. And he said, as Christ says, it's more blessed to give than to receive. When you get to that point, when you start giving of yourself to make the family what it ought to be, can I tell you, that's when you'll find joy. Waiting on that husband, waiting on that wife, waiting on those teenagers, it'll cause you more misery than anything else. But to know that I'm doing everything that's in my power and God is strengthening me will bring you joy. Same way in the church. To have a strong church, you've got to have strong families. The second thing we look to, why am I here, is church. Our prayer should be, Lord, use me to provide for your church. In Acts in chapter 2, the early church, I love what the testimony that they had. I just want to share this with you. Acts chapter 2, verse 42, down to verse 47. Let me read it to you, write it down. But they said, and they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. Now, this is during the apostolic age, but it's still during, it was establishing the church that Jesus established, moving it forward. And the Bible says, and the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and breaking of bread and prayers, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together and had all things common. and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread and from house to house did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Being what God wants you to be in the church will bring joy. The Bible says that we ought to tithe and give offerings cheerfully. That's what God's looking for. Why? God, thank you for blessing me and enabling me to support, to give to you to support your church. And when you understand that, what a blessing it is. What a joy it is to give. What a joy it is to give of your time, enabling the church to be strong and the storehouse to be strong and time enough to be able to minister to the children and teach in Sunday school, teach in the junior church ministries and drive the buses and bring the buses children in and be able to work in the nursery and be able to provide special music in the choir and all the things that take for the church to be strong. To know that, God, you have me here and you are working through me to strengthen your church. When you know that, can I tell you, that's what brings joy. Coming in and sitting down and say, bless me if you can, you don't find joy. That's not the attitude that God blesses. When you come in, you know this is a place of refuge. This is what God has established, and He placed you here. And He's working through you. Joy. Joy. You can ask, God, use me. God, bless me financially so I can be a blessing and give to the church. I can be a blessing and provide for my family. But God, use me with whatever time, with whatever finances, and whatever testimony you have for me. And lastly, the world. Why does God have you here? Family, church, and to reach the world. It's His banner up here. Faith Promise Missions. Go ye into all the world. That's talking to you if you're saved this morning. And preach the gospel to every creature. God wants the world to have an opportunity to be saved. For God so loved the world, that's all humanity, that He gave His only begotten Son. Jesus came as a sacrificial lamb for the world, all people. He has you here to reach the world. Starting with your family. Starting with those in your neighborhood, your own Jerusalem, and working out all at the same time. And when you do that, there's joy. In closing, in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, 2 Corinthians in chapter 9, verse 6 and 7. Chapter 8 and 9 is all about missions, supporting missions and offerings. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 and 7. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. God, help me to sow bountifully. Faith Promise. God, help me to give even more than I think I can give. To do more than I think I can do. Every man according as he purposed in his heart. Purposing in your heart. God, I don't deserve anything. But I'm sure glad that you placed me on this earth. And I'm sure glad that you blessed me with my family. I'm sure glad that you blessed me with my church. And you've given me an opportunity to obey the Great Commission and to reach the world. Purpose in his heart. So let him give. And when you do, not grudgingly, nor of necessity, for God loveth. And this is how we give. A cheerful giver. It brings me joy knowing that I have a part in reaching the world. When I read the missionary letters, we read them every Wednesday night, tell you what's taking place. And I hear of somebody getting saved in Africa, in the Philippines, in South America. It brings joy to my heart. Because I am actively supporting them, taking part in reaching those people. But I hear of them establishing a New Testament church and knowing that it's one just like this church with the very same doctrine. Can I tell you that that brings joy to my heart, knowing that God is working through this church to see other New Testament churches established and obeying the commission that He's given to us and reaching the world? That's joy. What are you asking God for? Solomon asked for the right things. And because he asked for the right things, God gave him everything else. I don't know what everything else is in your life. I know God will not give you that which will hinder His purpose for your life. Sometimes we don't have it because we can't handle it. Instead of drawing us closer to God, it'll take us away from God. What are you asking God for? Do what Solomon did. I don't deserve anything. Knowing who you are, knowing who I am, God, I'm just thankful that you let me come into your presence. I'm thankful for your grace and mercy. But you've given me a position. You've given me something to do. God, my request, give me what I need to accomplish your will. God will honor and God will bless that prayer. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. What a tremendous example in the life of Solomon. God wants us to ask. But as Spurgeon said, men's character appears in their choices and their desires. What's in your heart? Maybe you need to change that today. Maybe you need to come and change that prayer request and what you've been asking for. And ask for what God wants you to ask for. Father, we love you. Thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you for the message. I pray now that you'd help each one of us to make the application. Lord, help us to apply it. Work in our invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.